Okay, hi Zuji. I hope you're having fun.
So, and actually, I only unfortunately have about an hour because otherwise Abe Eidelfeld is liable to lay an egg. So I'm helping, I'm invigilating a test.
I see.
And he's, so, okay. So, today's a nice day because I'm going over. So in one sense it's humdrum in that I'm defining stuff, namely man and triples, and explaining the relation between man and triples and Lie-by algebras, and Lewis already knows this better than me.
Well, what should I put better than me?
But, so there's a bad way and a good way to do it, and I only ever knew the bad way, which involves writing down massive equations with huge tensors and lots of subscripts and superscripts and keeping track of it all, and it's a mess. So, but there's also a way with pictures, and I think I've understand that. So,
so by the way, what I suggested last time about something about Chibe and... And 48 terms and so on. Did it work out, or did you not check?
I didn't check, unfortunately.
Okay, you see, here's another thing I would have done if I had the time. But,
yeah.
Okay.
I think it's a good idea too. But let me remind y'all of something. Okay, I'll put down again the definition of Lie-by algebra in pictures, and. Mention something that I didn't mention last time, but which Lewis reminded me I should. So, a Lie-by algebra is a Lie algebra with a co-bracket. So I'm dealing with finite dimensional stuff. So it's a Lie algebra with a co-bracket that satisfies a so-called co-cycle relation. And the Jacobi relation, I'll try and write this in a corner, so try and write small. So pictorially, it is the following. So x, y, z are inputs. So x, y, z plus cyclic permutations. So I get...
So just put the rectangle before the x, y, z and call it cyclic permutations.
I actually want the pictures.
I see. Alternatively, it's just IHX with three inputs and one output.
Yes. So that's one of the points I wanted to make, which is that there's actually two kinds of IHX, well, or three. There's three IHX relations when you're talking about directed IHX. So one of those relations two of those relations are three-term relations, and one of them is five term. And it turns out that one of the three-term relations is the Jacobi relation. The other is the same going in the other direction, i.e. the co-Jacobi relation. And the five-term one is the co-cycle relation. So all of this equals zero. I'm trying to write it really small. And I won't write the co-Jacobi, it's the same thing in the other direction. And co-cycle is so everything going to the right. And that is equal to a sum of four terms. So I won't write all the arrows, because everything here is going to the right. I'll only put the arrows that are vertical. And they're basic, they're simple, they're just summing over the possibilities. So, and then minus. So that's the cocycle relation. And so as Dror was saying, this is actually one of the directed IHX relations. That's one of the directed IHX relation, and co-Jacobi is the other one. So, all right. So I wanted to put that back on the board. And now I will define, so it turns out that the concept of Levi algebra will be equivalent to this other gadget called a Mannan triple. So let me write down what a Mannan triple is. So it is a triple G plus G minus of, so, and everything that I do here will be finite dimensional Lie algebras. Where the first G has a non-degenerate invariant bilinear form. Which I'll write like this, such that the following holds. So, and three conditions. Firstly, G plus and G minus are Lie, well, they're Lie subalgebras. I guess I basically already said that. So,
no, you didn't say that.
Well, I said they're all Lie algebras. No, I didn't say.
But you didn't say that there are subalgebras.
Yeah, okay, are Lie subalgebras of G. Secondly, G plus direct sum G minus is equal to G as vector spaces. And thirdly, so this is the so-called isotropy property, which means that G plus equals zero equals G minus. So, in fact, under these conditions, the fancy language is that G plus and G minus are Lagrangian subalgebras. And one thing to note is a kind of maximality property that follows from what I've written here, in the sense that G plus is a maximal isotropic subalgebra, meaning there is no subalgebra properly containing G plus which has this property here. And the reason for that is comes back to the degeneracy of the form. So I said the form is non-degenerate. So let's suppose you could take G plus and enlarge it by some vector, not in G plus, such that that vector has a zero bracket with everything in G plus. Okay? You could project that vector, let's call it V, onto, V is in G, so you can project it onto G plus and G minus. Okay? And so the G plus part of V, which I'll call V plus, I know it has zero bracket with everything in G plus already. So V minus, the V minus, the G minus part must also have a zero bracket with
G plus. Okay, so let G in G minus G plus such that G, the inner product, or the this what's it called, this bilinear form, it's not an inner product, but whatever this is, G, when we apply the form to G and any element of G plus, we get zero. So rate G equals G plus G minus, where each of these is respectively in the corresponding part of the Lie algebra. So this is this decomposition as vector spaces. Since G plus is in G plus, we know that G plus, sorry, this notation is not the best, but this is the element G plus. This is the Lie subalgebra of G plus. This must be zero. So if I subtract this relation from this relation, I get hence the inner product of G minus and the Lie algebra of G plus must also be zero. Okay? But G minus belongs to the Lie algebra G minus, and it is also an isotropic subspace. So we also know that G minus inner product, or form, taking the form with elements of the Lie algebra G minus, this is also zero. But that means I found a G minus which has an inner, or has a whatever, with everything in G which is zero. So G minus must be zero because the form is none. So hence G minus must be zero, or actually I guess technically my assumption was wrong that there cannot be any such G. So that's what I mean by this maximality property of G plus, and for the exact same reason G minus is also a maximal thing. So all of this is more than just a technical observation, because it will lead into the next point that I want to make, which is that given a Manning triple, one can construct or one can make G plus into a Lie by algebra. So given one of these triples, we can put a Lie by algebra structure on G plus. So far it only has a Lie algebra structure, but we can put a coproduct on it that satisfies the cocycle identity. And of course one could do the same thing with G minus, but I'll do it for G plus. So claim G plus has a Lie by algebra structure coming from the data of the Manning triple. So, and the way that works is, so the non-degeneracy of this form gives us a pairing, or this form gives us a pairing from G plus cross G minus to the ground field, which is just apply the form. This pairing is non-degenerate precisely because of what I just, this maximality property. Okay, so this pairing is non-degenerate, and hence it gives an isomorphism of G plus star to G minus. So we have a Lie algebra structure on G minus. So using the isomorphism, we can use it to define a Lie algebra structure on G plus star. But then when we dualize that, that will give us at least a co-bracket. So let me see. Carry the Lie algebra structure on G minus to G plus star and dualize it to get a coproduct, co-bracket, on G plus. And so I need to check that it satisfies the cocycle relation. I already know it satisfies co-Jacobi because it's dual to a bracket that satisfies Jacobi. So I need to check the cocycle condition. And this is where, this is what I was going to tell you. I'd almost rather be in physics. I think at this point I should erase and start afresh. I guess I don't need to pause. It's already being recorded for posterity.
Wait. It's being recorded, but I'm not sure we will save the recording.
Okay.
So it's a different posterity. Okay? If you don't mind.
Okay.
Okay.
Is that it?
Yeah, it's yeah. That it, except it's harder than usual for me to...
Algebras
of G so that the bracket and co-brackets are compatible?
No, actually, G plus and G minus have their own separate Lie algebra structure. They are Lie subalgebras,
mm-hmm.
and there's this non-degenerate inner form, but that's all that we're imposing. So they're compatible in the sense of, I'll write down something.
Non-degenerate and invariant inner form.
Yeah,
so.
Invariant, sorry. I'm going to just very briefly introduce a basis for G plus and G minus, although I actually won't use it all that much. So let EI be a basis for G plus, and E upper J be a dual basis to it, a basis for G plus star, which is isomorphic to G minus. So the fact that G is a Lie algebra with its bracket means that you have Jacobi relations, not only pure Jacobi relations where all the terms are in either G plus or G minus, that you have mixed Jacobi relations, such as, for example, so Jacobi includes the following for G, includes the following EI, EJ, comma EK, plus cyclic. Actually, I'll write them down. So plus EJ, comma EK, EI, plus, and sorry, EK, comma EI, EJ, equals zero. And so here I've got terms that have one covector, or one element of G plus, and two elements of G minus, but I'll also have a Jacobi where there's two elements of G plus and one of G minus. But I'm going to look at this guy first, and I claim that this relation will give us, so we claim this implies two things, and if I have it right, it will give me Jacobi for which will it give me? I will have to wait to figure it out once I get it. But it will also give me the cocycle for something and the cocycle relation. So let me tell you what it gives me later. So, okay. But now let me write this with pictures instead of with brackets. So, and the way I'll do that is kind of like what I did up there. So I'll have my inputs coming in from the left and outputs on the right. And I will indicate with arrows whether I'm dealing with G plus or G minus. So for example, if I have, so I'll write here super or subscripts, so IJK, then the first relation is two G minuses. So I'll write that like this, with arrows going to the right. And the bracket of two G minus is another G minus, so what comes out is still an arrow going to the right. And then the EI is a G plus, or in any rate, it's the other direction, but it's still an input, so I'll write that like this, but with an arrow going in the other direction. And then, and then there will be some output. Okay, so and specifically the output is two terms. In fact, there's going to be two terms. So I'm taking the inner product or whatever this is of a covector and a vector, and in general that could give me it will give me a sum of vectors and covectors. So okay, I'm running into a little bit of trouble right now. It actually gives me a sum of terms. It gives me one output, which is an arrow going that way, and another output, which is an arrow going this way.
This is because of the invariance business. So the trouble that I'm running into is that I had planned to talk about this later, but I think I need to talk about it now.
Okay, so let me do a little parenthesis, because I just realized that I haven't organized this so that it's clear why I'm writing this. So let me do this little parenthesis and explain how one goes from... So I said that from a Mann and triple, one can construct a Levi algebra structure on G+. I claim that you can go in the other direction as well. In other words, starting from a Levi algebra, you can construct a Mann and triple from it. And as I go through that process, it will also explain what I've written down here. So let me explain the reverse process. The reverse process is the following claim. Given a Levi algebra G, if we write G equals A direct sum A plus A star, and define an inner product, a bilinear form bracket as follows. So specifically, so if X, Y are in A, and big X, big Y are in A star, then the form applied to X plus big X and y plus big Y will be defined to be x applied to y plus y applied to x. Okay, the big Ys and big X's are functions on A. So I can write, so x applied to y plus big Y applied to x. So I will do this in such a way that it will be invariant. So and that will uniquely specify what it can be. So we want this to be invariant. So I've written G as A plus A star. We have a bracket in A. We have a bracket in A star, which comes from the co-bracket in A. But we also need a bracket on all of G. So in other words, we need brackets on cross terms, mixed terms. So I will define the bracket on mixed terms in such a way that this form is invariant. And that will specify exactly what it can be. So extend the bracket to apply to stuff of this form by requiring invariance. So specifically, what that means is that so i.e. two things. If I apply x to y and take the inner form with x, invariance will mean that, so it can have two meanings. It can be invariance with respect to moving the y around, or invariance with respect to moving the x around. So with respect to moving the y around, it means that this is equal to the inner form of x with y applied to x. Okay? In the sense that the action of big X or little y is by the adjoint action, and when you apply, so in this case, so add y applied to the inner product of x, big X and little x, should be invariant. And what that means is that add y applied to, the inner form of add y applied to x, comma, little x, plus the inner form of big X, comma, add y applied to little x, this should be zero. That's what invariance would mean. So in other words, you're applying add y as a derivation to the inner form, and you're saying that action should be zero. So, and this here, I claim, is what I wrote here. So add y applied to x is just the inner product of x and y, and here I've got x comma y applied. So that's what invariance is telling me. So the way I like to write this is that it's x applied to the bracket of y and little x. So let me erase this line to get a bit more space. So if I can summarize what I just wrote here, what this is saying is that the G star part of x comma y, so when I apply big X to little y, in general, so I'll get an element of G, so it'll have an A plus part and an A star part. So so I have to tell you what the A star part and the A part are of x applied to y. And the A star part is determined by its what it does to elements of A, because A star is functions on A. So, and that's what I've just obtained. So x applied to y, comma, x is equal to this. So, so is so x applied to y will be a function which will apply to elements of A, and this function is the function x applied to the bracket of y and blank, or to put that differently, add star y of x of blank. This is the so-called co-adjoint action of y on a functional x. Okay? So as usual, I'm boxing myself into a corner. Maybe what I should do is just erase this and try again later, and just finish this off. Okay. Maybe I can continue up here. So I'll try to continue up here. So I've obtained the A star part of this bracket, but I need to find the A part of this bracket. And conversely, at the same time, the invariance property has not been fully exploited. So I've explained the invariance with respect to moving the little y around, but I can also move the x around. And that is as follows. So also, invariance will also require that the bracket of x and y applied to some element big Y. So now I can move the x around, the big x around. That should be equal to y comma big x big y. Except that I'm missing a minus. So more properly, this plus this should be zero. That's exactly what invariance is. The action of x on y, and then the action of x on big Y. But, so I'll write that as something like this. And this is what I would call by symmetry with what I wrote down here, y applied to the bracket of big X and big Y. Okay. More properly, big X, big Y acts on Y, but I'm viewing it as
a double dual.
Hence, the A part of the bracket of X and Y is X comma Y acting on something in A star will be minus add x of y applied to y. So I've made it invariant, and it's non-degenerate because
it's a duality.
It's a duality. Yeah. For every a here, there's a dual basis element here that doesn't kill it. So it's just by construction, really, that it's non-degenerate. And so the claim here is that, so I said, given if we write this, so the claim, which I never wrote, is that G comma A comma A star is a Mannan triple. And the only, so I've verified all of the requirements for Mannan triple here, such as invariance of the form and non-degeneracy. The only thing that I have not verified is that this bracket that I've defined satisfies Jacobi. So it satisfies Jacobi with regard to homogeneous stuff, where we have A and A, or A star and A star. But I need to check that when it's mixed, that it satisfies Jacobi. And essentially, the proof that I was going to write down here, that the Jacobi for big G implies Jacobi for a subpart and the cocycle condition, it will actually work equally well in reverse, going from there to give me the Jacobi for the big G here on this kind of mixed term. So, but Where I needed to take a break was that I hadn't yet explained the form that a covector acting on a vector has to take. And I've now shown that from the invariance property, it has to act like what I wrote down here somewhere. So actually, I never really collected it together. I said that, so let me write it here. Actually, this, I think my computer is not just get rid of it. So, this is a mess, sorry. So, summary. For this construction of man and triple the bracket of x applied to y, well, it has an a star part and an a part, and the a star part was add star y x. So is add star y applied to big X, and then it had an A part, which was here, and that's minus add star really X applied to Y minus add star X applied to Y. And pictorially, what that means is that if you have a covector and a vector, then the product of those two things will be a sum of two terms. So you'll have a term which is a vector. Yeah, a vector. Isn't that right? No. So a covector. So that's, so big X is a covector, so it's going that a ways. Minus something like this. So a term where the output is, it is a vector. So it's something like Y. So this will be, we'll have A on this end and A star on this end. Okay, so let's take a picture and then I'll take another run at what I was pointing at before.
Sorry. Okay.
All right. Again, the mixed Jacobi relation that I had started, that I had written down before. So, AI, EJ, EK plus EJ, EK, E upper I plus EK. E upper I, E lower J. And this is zero. And this is one of the Jacobi relations in a Levi algebra. Sorry, in a Mannan triple. In a Mannan triple. So this is the Jacobi relation on the G part of the Mannan triple. So in pictures, writing the indices again, the first term is, so I have two vectors, and they give me one vector, and then I have a covector, and that, so this here will give me two terms. It will give me this term, and then minus the same thing, except now a vector coming out. Okay, so that's the first term. And then from here, so let me actually flip this around so that I have minus Ej and then Ei acting on Ek. Make it so that the I's are coming from the left. So again, with the same indices Ijk, we've got Ei acting on Ek, and that will give me two terms. So one term with the output going to the left and one term with the output going to the right. And then I have J coming in and acting on that here. Okay, so I should really have given myself a bit more space, because now this product here has two terms as well. So let me just shuffle this thing over a little bit so that I get minus that. And then, so this product here becomes a sum of two terms. It becomes the term where the output is going to the left, so minus the term where the output is going to the right. And then finally, I have this last term here. And let me rewrite that as Ei minus Ei Ej acting on Ek to preserve the ordering. So I changed the order, but I forgot to change the signs. So this is actually a minus, and this is a plus and a plus. But all of this is up to signs anyway, because I probably got them wrong. So I have a minus, and then for here I had Ei acting on Ej, which gives me a sum of two terms. Okay, and then I have that acting on Ek. So let me shuffle this over a bit. And then the this term here, where I had this product of a covector and a vector, it becomes two terms. So the first term is where the output is going to the left, and the second term is where it's going to the right, but with the sign. So like so, and like so. And now it's a matter of collecting terms.
Each pair of diagrams should come with the same sign. It's like when you do the bracket of something in A, something in A dual.
Mm-hmm.
When you look at the A dual part, you have the negative sign. Mm-hmm. But when you draw it out, I think somehow you have to apply anti-symmetry once, so the negative sign kills it.
Oh, so you're saying there aren't all these signs?
I think they should all have the same sign.
Okay. You may be right.
When you wrote the cocycle condition up there, the corresponding two terms had the same sign.
Okay. So what's the problem with what I wrote down? I don't understand this anti-symmetry thing.
Because the vertices are oriented.
No. No. No, 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 Louis, sorry, this, he does have the right. Louis, I'm not sure what bothers you. The terms that are supposed to have the same sign are this one and that one, and this one and that one.
Right.
And they do have the same sign.
Yes. Well, then maybe I
was also looking
to get days, right? This area of all this stuff.
The problem is that they only differ by arrows, so it's kind of hard to.
Let's collect the terms, and there may well be a mistake anyway. But so we'll collect the terms based on whether the output is pointing to the left or to the right. And I've got 8 terms here. 2, 3, 3. So, miraculously, there are going to be 3 outputs with the arrows going to the left, and 5 with the outputs going to the right. So that'll give me a 3-term or 5-term relation. So let me collect those. So, firstly, the left-pointing outputs. So I've got so that's this guy here, and then I have this guy here with the minus. So that's this guy here, and then I've got this term, and that's the last one with the outputs going to the left. So minus, should really have written the 5 term down here. But anyway, so okay, and this should be 0. And at the same time, I should have a 5-term relation, which is collecting the 5 terms.
Maybe take a green chalk or something and just surround them with circles, the 5, rather than copying them.
That's a good idea. So surrounded with orange, we've got...
I said green.
But it might not be true if I use green. That's my concern.
Ah, well, okay.
Actually, it's just all these steps. So those are the That's the five-term part. And let me actually rewrite. So at this point, it's a matter of reworking this so that we can recognize this equation in it. And by the same token, reworking this so that we can recognize this guy. Maybe I'll do the, what I'll do is adopt Dwar's trick.
But it's not worth doing. I mean, now it's just a matter of moving the...
There's actually one trick that still needs to be done, I think.
Okay. It's not just a matter of recognizing the graphs.
Well, I don't think so, because here you've got two right-pointing and one left-pointing on the input side, and you don't have that anywhere here. Okay. And so the trick is, for pink, apply... a cup or a cap, I'm not sure what this is. And a cup, whichever it is. So let me call these U. This will be U, U. And so the effect of that is to bend this end around so it's down here, and bend this around so that it's going that way. And that we are allowed to do that because we have this non-degenerate form, which allows us to convert covectors into vectors, or input covectors into output vectors, and vice versa. So that's the magic of having this form. So the pink becomes, so now it's going to be JKU as input, and we have JK and U with I as the output. That's this first term up here, minus, and then from here we get, well, from here it's all mechanical, so... J and U, and then that gets hit from the right by K. J and U, and that gets so if I'm not mistaken, we have J and U. That gets hit by K. So I may have the signs wrong, because in the process of reworking this, I may have flipped some of the things. And then there will be a last term, which is this term here. And then, so I claim that this is the Jacobi relation. When one works it out, certainly the terms are right. So I have here J, K acting on U, and then I have minus J, U acted on the left by K. And then here I have minus KU
enacted on the left by J. And so I have, this is JKU. From here I get KU plus KUJ. So from here I get KU acting on J. And then from here I get I might have a sign problem. So I think I'm getting minus UJ acting on K. And I should get plus UJ acting on K. So I've got a sign problem. But anyway, whatever it is, it's zero, and I guess I just messed up the sign. So so that's the Jacobi, and then this will give us the cocyclic condition. And if I had written this with two covectors and one vector, then I would have had, instead of this three term, I would have had the co-Jacobi, but I would still have gotten another copy of the cocyclic condition. So, and then you can do this in reverse. In other words, if you start with the data of a Levi algebra, you can put, you would have the cocycle and the Jacobi and co-Jacobi, and you could fit them together to produce this equation and its other equation, so as to get the mixed Jacobi relations for the Riemann triple. So the moral of the story is that, so summary, the notions of Levi algebra and Lenn and triple are equivalent.
And have diagrammatic descriptions, and you also.
And have diagrammatic descriptions.
Should I take a picture, or
yeah,
what's next? I mean, you said you want to quit relatively early today. Is this
so
it,
I do have
or
to take off. So next week we'll talk. We'll just
can you move a little bit?
Yeah.
Sorry, no. Okay. Okay. So should I turn it off?
Yep. Bye, Zushi.